Hello, Tomorrow Built Today listeners. This is one of your co-hosts, Nicole Quinn. For those of you new to the podcast, we cover investing trends and predictions, along with discussions around the latest news in consumer technology. In this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Stephen Hawthornthwaite, founder and CEO of Rothy's. For those of you who are not familiar with Rothy's, they are every woman's favorite flat shoe. I actually bought my first pair 3 years ago, and embarrassingly now have 15 pairs. So it's for that reason that I'm excited to dig in and bring you all of the insights from one of the fastest growing brands, Rothy's. Today, Stephen and I discuss how to build a product that is comfortable, stylish, and sustainable. Why focusing on a great product and profitability has driven the success we have today, and how the Rothy's community has propelled the brand forward. Please join me in welcoming Stephen to Tomorrow Built Today.
Nicole, thank you. We've known each other for 2.5 years now, and I think this is the first time I've had a chance to sit down on your podcast.
We are very excited to have you on our podcast, and so are all of our listeners. So for anybody who is unfamiliar with Rothy's, and there are very few women in that category, why don't you tell us a little bit about Rothy's?
Rothy's is an emerging global lifestyle brand. Today it's footwear. We have four silhouettes for women. The price point is between $125 and $165. It's really intended to be a front of the closet shoe, an easy choice in the morning. But fundamentally, the product is stylish, it's comfortable, and it's made sustainably. So when you think about each of those pieces, historically, when we looked at shoes, fashion shoes hurt. Comfort shoes always aren't the best looking, always aren't the most stylish.
True.
And historically, sustainable products always haven't been well made. And so the goal for us was really to take each of those categories, address some of those, and put them in one product. It took us about 4 years to figure out how to make the shoes, where to make them, but the result of that was an amazing product. We had tremendous product market fit out of the gate, and our customers absolutely love it.
You can say that again. And I also love the way you say a front of the closet shoe, because that's exactly what it is. Rothy's, for me, are lining the front of my closet and in every single color to go with a different outfit. So, there's something you said there at the end, which I found very interesting, the fact that you had spent 4 years making Rothy's before you sold a single pair of shoes. So tell us a little bit about that, because I think therein lies what's really special in Rothy's and the special technology behind this sustainable shoe.
Yeah, it's a great question, Nicole. And, you know, I think when people hear the story, they're really surprised and amazed. So many people see what Rothy's is today, but they didn't see the 4 years that it took, to figure out how to do this. Prior to Rothy's, I was an investment banker focused on mergers and acquisitions and corporate development for about 16 years. And Roth had done a number of things. You know, we've really drawn on all life experiences in creating Rothy's, but Roth traded physical commodities for Glencore. He also started and ran one of the best design galleries in the country, focused on high-end contemporary collectibles. So at the beginning, we'd already been friends for 5 years. We both had a shared passion for consumer goods and well-made product. And we really saw the white space and the opportunity for the shoes that we ended up creating. And I think, our wives get referenced frequently in the press, and there was a lot of debate about what they had to do with this. They were the inspiration for the use case. So our wives, for example, going to yoga, going to SoulCycle, taking the kids to school, and then on to work and out to dinner in the evening, not struggling with shoe choices, but carrying multiple pairs of shoes, running shoes, flip-flops, very nice ballet flats, they didn't want to get messed up. And there wasn't one product that sat at the front of the closet that was an easy choice. And so when you looked at casualization, it was clearly here to stay. Performance materials increasingly were coming to the forefront in clothing. And women were wearing that clothing whether they were going to work out or not and onto the office. We also felt women wanted fewer, better products. and that increasingly customers were demanding environmentally friendly product and manufacturing processes.
So what's really special to me about Rothy's is partly the fact you can throw them in the wash and they come out looking brand new, partly exactly what you just said there in terms of being environmentally friendly. I think this message around sustainability has really resonated with so many of your customers, and the company really has a very strong ethos around sustainability. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that and also what sustainability means to you and Roth.
Okay, great. A lot of questions in there, Nicole. I'll do my best. So sustainability was something that was very important to me and Roth from the beginning. You know, certainly being located here in San Francisco, it's part of our ethos. And we felt the time was right, and you know that no one had really done a good job, particularly in footwear around this space. So for us, sustainability takes on a number of dimensions. First is in the manufacturing process. By knitting, you know, we realized that we could reduce a lot of the waste that the industry has historically seen in footwear. And that was really one of the first things that struck us. You know, in traditional footwear manufacturing, 30 to 40% of the materials used in the process end up on the factory floor and then ultimately in landfill. So that was number one. And by knitting to shape, we were effectively reducing the waste to zero because you only use as much fiber as you need to knit the parts. We also have a 55-step hand assembly process, but by that point, there's very little opportunity for waste. So it really is, at the end of the day, a product that probably has 2.5% waste. Beyond that, we also knit, as you know, with a fiber that's made from recycled water bottles. Any bottle marked PET1 plastic is chipped up into flake, hot washed, turned into pellets, and then we extrude that into a very, very soft fiber, which is what we use to knit. And then the third one that doesn't really get a lot of discussion as it relates to sustainability is we've got a great product. It's a lasting product. You've mentioned that it's machine washable, but beyond that, it just lasts. And so for a woman who you know, may have one pair of Rothy's, you know, $125 is a considered purchase for sure. Once she gets the shoe and starts wearing it and realizes how comfortable it is and how it fits into her life, she finds that she's wearing it 6 and 7 times a week. And the shoes, you know, last a long time. So there's certainly value there to the consumer. And so when you think about all of that, sustainability, certainly an important part of our brand, Rothy's at its highest level is really about reimagining and reinventing essentials for women. And so footwear is certainly the start, but when you really think about our core competencies, it's, you know, elevated and simple design, technology, and sustainability. So when you view it through that lens, you know, Rothy's really does have a brand now that's resonated with the consumer. We have an emotional connection with those consumers. And, you know, we're asked all the time to introduce products in other categories that are very natural complements to footwear. So we really do believe that we have an opportunity as a global lifestyle brand.
The best reason to go into something is always when the customer is asking you to, and in your case, they are begging you to go into many other areas. I'm excited to see what comes next. So what's interesting is if you, if I ask people, how do you know Rothy's? First of all, they tell me they hear about it from friends. Next, they say they see it everywhere, everyone on the street, everyone in the office. But third is, they always say, it's all over my Instagram. Rothy's is everywhere on my social feed. So let's dive a little bit into that. I'd love to better understand how you think about social media and also press, because we've been seeing the likes of Meghan Markle wearing Rothy's. So
absolutely.
How do you think about that?
It's a great question, Nicole. And when Roth and I started working on this in 2012, our vision was to build a long-term brand. We didn't want this to be a branding and marketing exercise, marketing arbitrage. We really were focused on building a brand. And also because Roth and I funded everything for 4 years while we were getting the company up and running into profitability, you know, we were very focused on profitability and setting the success or setting the stage for long-term success. And because we have a great product that came out of that 4 years of R&D, At a time that, you know, when it was very well received in the market, we had immediate product market fit. That is really what is driving the word of mouth here. Women are discovering what a great product is. They want to tell their friends. If you stop a Rothy's customer on the street and ask her, you know, are those Rothy's? She is going to stop, even in, you know, downtown New York. She might even take them off and show them to you, but she's certainly going to tell you that they changed her life. It's that, you know, word of mouth that really is driving the business. You ask about digital media. We do get a lot of press mentioning our presence in Facebook and Instagram. At the end of the day, we're very effective at targeting, but we're also very careful not to dilute the brand with overexposure in the social media channels. So we are able to spend very effectively because we know who our customer is. We're very focused on being profitable, you know, from inception when we acquire a customer. And we've been very thoughtful about how we spend across digital media channels. Beyond that, however, you know, we are expanding and diversifying our marketing spend. You last year may have seen us in, you know, out-of-home placements. We have billboards in a lot of major metropolitan cities. We're on podcasts. We're also on satellite. And then this year we just rolled out, which was really a test, but it's gone amazingly well, a national TV ad campaign. So you can look to, you can continue to expect to see great content, engaging content from Rothy's in a way that's, you know, thoughtful and not dilutive to the brand.
So what's interesting is that I feel like you have built a cult-like brand. I like the fact you say that sometimes you'll stop people on the street and ask them about Rothy's. I have a policy that every single time I see a stranger wearing Rothy's, I will stop them and I will say, I like your Rothy's, they look great. And I would encourage all of our listeners to do the exact same thing, because when you buy a pair of Rothy's, you are buying into a community, and a really strong community. So I love to see people do that.
You absolutely are. And, you know, the halo on the back of the shoe on the heel is sort of the, you know, we've really tried to be somewhat discreet in the branding here, not, you know, big logos all over the product. And that's really, you know, the distinguishing style feature for us is the Rothy's blue halo on the back of every shoe. So that's how you can spot it. In terms of our customer, that really has evolved into community. And what initially, in many of these organic communities that have come around, you know, footwear brought people together and Rothy's brought people together. But it's really amazing to look inside these communities. You know, we do not want to interfere with them in any shape or form, but it's amazing to see what women are doing in these communities. They're leaning on each other for support. They're asking for help. It's not about footwear, you know, and it's not, it started around Rothy's, but it's so much more than that. We have Rothy's Addicts, Rothy's Love. There are all these, you know, independent communities that have sprung up, and you know, it's really, really rewarding to see, and it feels good.
You are definitely building a community. I would also say that you're building a true brand. I obsess over what a brand is, and I'd say that Rothy's certainly is that cult-like brand. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you think really a brand is and how you become a brand.
Yeah, a brand for us, you know, I think you might get a different answer depending on who you ask, honestly, Nicole. For some people, you know, brand is all about kind of look and feel and imagery and content. For us, it really is about the customer, and it's really about the experience. We focus on having elevated design, elevated content, something that's sophisticated but yet still approachable. And you always see that from us. However, we have a great product, and I think that is the first foundation of the brand. So it really is not about the marketing and the branding as much as it is about the product and having women tell their friends about how great it is. Beyond that, it's also the customer experience. You know, just simplicity of design and use on the website, easy interface with customer experience. You know, we recognize that, you know, customer experience are, in many cases, with the exception of our store, you know, one of the leading touch points with the customer. And our team is trained to really, you know, focus on that, make sure they're delivering a positive experience. And we bend over backwards to make sure that continues to happen. That's true here in the U.S., and as we expand internationally, you'll see that as well. We are always very focused on the customer. So, you know, brand takes on different meanings depending on how you're looking at it, but I tend to focus on what the experience is for the customer.
That's great. And I would love it if you could share with us just a couple of numbers around the company's growth in terms of customers since its creation and any other numbers you're willing to share with the listeners.
Sure. And I will say, and Nicole, you look at a lot of companies, and you know, I spent years and years looking at companies and seeing a lot of different business models and P&Ls for that matter. And I have to say that you know, there was a lot of hard work that went into creating Rothy's and a lot of vision. There's also been a lot of luck, but at the end of the day, it's our fantastic customers that are helping us build this. You know, we have really started from zero, call it, in revenue in the summer of 2016. We did over $140 million of revenue in 2018. So from zero to $140 million in 2.5 years, we were profitable during that whole period. And this is not, you know, just a little bit in the black. You know, we have a healthy business. We're very focused on continuing to invest in growth, continuing to add heads in an intelligent manner, really, you know, building out our factory. You know, as some of the listeners may know, we are completely vertically integrated. We own our own factory, which really enables us to not only make high quality product, but really be responsive in delivering product to the customer. You know, you mentioned Meghan Markle. When Meghan wore our shoes in Australia on our press tour, you know, we didn't know she was going to wear them, and we woke up, it was in the press.
All over the press.
All over the press globally. we were able to respond to that demand. You know, we had enough inventory initially. We basically just turned our entire factory to knitting the black point and making the black point. So we're geared today that we can put a PO into the factory on a Monday, make 10,000 pairs of shoes and have them here ready to go to customers by the end of the week. So it really is amazing. And that's what's enabling us to grow this fast. It's what's enabling us to scale. In terms of profitability, you know, we don't talk a lot about it, but I will say that our EBITDA margins are in the neighborhood of 20% and have been consistently. So we have very consistent growth and margin. On the growth topic, we grew 1,500% in 2017, 350% in 2018. And I won't give you any numbers for this year, but, you know, we had an amazing Q1. The business continues to grow monthly, and this year is going to be amazing as well.
Wow, Stephen, that is very, very special. And one of my favorite stats is how many recycled bottles you've done. So what's that number?
So far, since inception, we've repurposed 30 million plastic water bottles.
Round of applause.
It's a big number. I won't comment on this year, but, you know, it will be a very big number. We won't cross 100 million this year, but that is not too far off. And you know, we're really pleased to see other brands, you know, starting to pay attention to this, starting to focus on using recycled plastics in, you know, in their own apparel or footwear. And we've seen several brands just in the last few months alone, very well-known brands, come out and state their intention and their goal to recycle 100, you know, or repurpose 100 million in the next 5 years. We're already closing in on 100, you know, since inception. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be recycled plastics, right? It can be a lot broader than that when you think about, you know, elevated design, technology, and sustainability more generally.
So as we leave the listeners today, I would be remiss if I did not ask you if you could tell us a little bit about what's next for Rothy's. Either on the product side or new markets coming, I will leave you to tell us whatever you can.
Well, I'll tell you this. One thing that has gotten us to this place is discipline and restraint. So you will not see Rothy's make every possible shoe that can be in a woman's closet. We'll continue to be very thoughtful about how she's going to use it. We're going to iterate and continue to iterate on pattern and color and keep that fresh for the customer. Beyond that, I won't comment specifically, but there are very natural product adjacencies, and you know, look for those not this year, but next year, to really round out and round out our lifestyle brand that we're building. Beyond that, retail, owned and operated retail is going to be very important to us both here in the U.S. and international. We currently only have one store. We'll probably have five or six by the end of this year. But again, it's about discipline. Having the stores is a great place for women to go and try on the shoe, confirm their size, you know, discover new exclusive product. But we don't need hundreds of stores. So it'll be a very thoughtful complement to our online offering.
Wow. As a Rothy's addict, I am very excited about that. And can I just say thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nicole.
And thank you to all of our Tomorrow Built Today listeners. You can learn more about Rothy's at rothys.com. That is rothys.com. And you can also find them on Instagram. So thank you again.
Thanks so much.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. To find your favorite shoe, you may now follow Rothy's at rothys.com and at Rothy's on Instagram. If you enjoyed it, please go to iTunes or wherever you're listening to right now to rate and review it. You can also find us at tbtpodcast.com. The theme music you heard today is by Mikhail Manvalin, and Tomorrow Built Today is produced by Lightspeed Venture Partners.